Brother John and Dean. Thank you for being here tonight. Proverbs chapter 11, where we'll be this evening. So I invite you to turn in your Bibles to there. And we are continuing with the Proverbs of Solomon. And we see where he starts with this one. He says that dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. And this goes all the way back to Levitical law. It goes back to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy and Hebrews in the second law. So dishonest scales is an abomination to the Lord. These people in the marketplace, whether it be the produce of the day, be it the grain or the wheat of the day, whatever it may be, as they would put it on the scale, one scale would have the approximate weight, what it would be, and they would make these out of some type of rock, maybe some type of material. They would put this scale, this weight on there that would be the equivalent of, say, 5 pounds. Okay? Well, the cheaters in the marketplace, they put on their 10 pounds. So when people bring their harvest in, they may be being shortchanged. And this is what the Lord is talking about too, in the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord. But a just weight is his delight. So the bottom line here is this. If there was false labeling, manipulation of the standard weight, he could cheat the customer of his product. And there is one thing that the Lord abhors, and that is cheating. Okay? That is cheating. This principle can be applied to anything in life. Anything in life. He does not like dishonest businessmen or women. He does not like dishonest people in the workplace. You and I cannot come here on Sunday and call ourselves Christian and go to the workplace on Monday and be an absolute hypocrite. That can't happen. But I've heard people say that. Oh, I've got to just do my job. I'm down at the car lot selling cars. I've got to do my job. You know, the bottom line in here is that the Lord, he doesn't like cheaters. He abhors a dishonest scale, but a just weight is his delight. Any aspect of scamming, and I believe that there is a hot place in hell for people that scam the elderly. I believe that with all my heart. People that take advantage of calling the elderly up and trying to dupe them and to give them money, whatever it may be, that is an abomination to the Lord. He hates scams. He hates cheaters. I put it in here like this, ripping people off. We should never have that type of personality, nor should we have that type of business acumen. Everything that we do, whatever our jobs are in here, everything that we do it for the glory of God. When people see us in the business world and whatever profession that we're in, they ought to be able to say, hey, there's something different about you. Something different about you. You're fair. You're honest. You're up front. They ought to know this when they deal with us. It's somebody with integrity, somebody that is honest. Dishonest skills are an abomination to the Lord, but a just way is his delight. Verse 2. When pride comes, then comes shame. Okay? When pride comes, when this ego, the Hebrew word means to boil over, somebody that is boiling over, what we would call somebody that is arrogant, somebody that is overconfident. It is a boiling over of pride. When pride comes, then comes shame. Okay? Look at what the next part of it is. This compare, contrast, Proverbs, Solomon. He says, but with humble is wisdom. In Hebrew, this is a very rare word because it means that it is teachable only by the Holy Spirit. Teachable only by the Holy Spirit on how to be humble, that we humble ourselves. That you and I can't do that on our own. Because we're driven by what? We're driven by ego. We're driven by personality. We're driven by competition. Right? And so when we get in the flesh, man, that's all we're driven by. But see, when we're controlled by the Spirit, no, our ego is what? Our ego is humble. And therefore, what? The humble gains wisdom. The humble gains wisdom. Wisdom from where? From God. Through His Word. Yeah, amen. For the times, I mean, this is where we get this from. Proverbs 16:18, Solomon says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit what? Before a fall. Y'all know that word. Okay. Leo Hala, he taught our Sunday school class when Jacqueline and I were first married. We were in Brother Leo and Miss Ann's class, and Leo went through Dr. J. Vernon McGee's commentaries for our class, and he gave me a book called Back to Mayberry about the Andy Griffith Show. And I love Andy Griffith. And anyway, they would take an episode of the Andy Griffith Show, and they would take a Bible passage, and they would apply it to that. And this verse right here, Proverbs 16:18, five years before description of the Holy Spirit for thought, it can be turned into 11:2 here as well, is when Barney, the town choir director, is getting everybody ready for a big show with choir, and he's going to get everybody ready to go with the choir, and their best singer comes down sick. And then what do? Well, Barney, he's hinting around that he can sing. But everybody knows that Barney can't carry a tune in a bucket, right? He's like me, right? And so what does Barney do? He hints around. They finally put him on the choir. And what does he do? He gets up there and he messes everybody up. And that choir director saying, somebody is off key. So what does Barney do? Barney says, oh, no, it's not me. Let me move around so I can see who's off key. Isn't that exactly who people are that are prideful? It's nobody else's fault. Okay? It's not their fault, excuse me, but it's everybody else's fault. Let me go and nitpick everybody else instead of looking in the mirror at me. And I'm going to tell you what, I spend enough time in the mirror looking at me at my faults, I don't have time to look at everybody else. Man, I got problems. I've got issues. I've got things I've got to deal with before I can ever be able to say, hey, let me help you along today. So I want you to think about that. Before we going around criticizing others, pointing fingers at others, Ricky Day told me this day to Curry. He said, when you're pointing one finger at somebody else, you got three pointing back at you. That's the truth. Pride comes, then comes shame. The humble is wisdom. And you're prideful tonight. Let me tell you something. Your pedestal is shaking dreams. These people think they know it all. They have all this arrogance. They have all this ego. They think they know how to do everything. They don't ever listen to wisdom from God. They are on very shaky ground. Very shaky ground. What happened to Barney? Barney had a good friend named Andy Taylor, didn't he? Andy Taylor pulled him to the side and he said, Barney, right? There was a poll done in that book that said what? It said what? The most popular character on the Andy Griffith Show was Barney, and the reason it was because people related to him. My most popular character on the show is Andy Griffith, Andy Taylor, okay? He was so wise, he pulled Barney inside, and he was able to talk to them. I know that that's a TV show, but I'm going to tell you what. We need friends in our lives to show us when we get prideful, when we think that we're too good for everybody else, that we think that we're unteachable. We need friends to pull us aside like Barney had Andy to just tell him, look, Barney, you can't really say anything. But you know what you are good at? You build them up in that edification. That's what we need. But sometimes we got people that are walking on eggshells. They're scared to say anything because they don't want to hurt people's feelings. But we need friends. And I'm thankful I got friends. I'm thankful I got friends that can tell me, hey, dude, you better tone it down a little bit. I'm thankful I got friends. I got a best friend that me and him didn't agree with the doctrine in the Bible. And we can sit down and we can just say, hey, you know what? We agree to disagree and let's move forward. It doesn't change our friendship. It doesn't change our brotherhood. When pride comes, in comes shame. With the humble is wisdom. Verse 3, Solomon says, the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. The integrity, we talked about that. We talked about, we get the word integer from man. It is the wholeness of character. The integrity means our wholeness of character of the upright will guide them. Your character will guide you. And if your character is in Christ, you will be guided to do the right thing. You will be considered righteous not because of who you are, but because of who Christ is. I hear all these programs in school. And man, I applaud people. Character counts. All these different gimmicks that they bring to the school system and say, kids, we're going to give you a program, and if you have motivation to be good, we are going to extrinsically reward you. So if you be good, we're going to give you something in return. I'm going to tell you something, folks. It's dangerous. See, watch this. When you are saved by Jesus Christ, truly saved, He will give you the wholeness of character. He will give you integrity to walk the path that He has placed for you. Now, what do we do in our flesh? We go off straight, don't we? But I'm thankful that He loves us enough that He disciplines us to get us back on the right track. Amen. And so this is what Solomon's talking about here. He's talking about the integrity of the upright will guide them. Listen to this. The perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. The perversity, the word simply means this. It means the sexual sins of the person. Sexual sins of the person. The lust that's inside a person. That lust through the eyes. Remember what John said in 1 John 2? He said it's lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. These are the things we're going to talk about this later, but we look and there's people that are very perverted in their sexual sin. Very perverted in their sexual sin. It sickens me to hear of the molestations of little kids. That sickens me. It tears me up inside to hear people that struggle with sexual sin that cannot be controlled, cannot be contained. Let me tell you something here tonight. If you struggle with sexual sin, sexual lust is a normal facet of the flesh. But praise God through Jesus Christ. He gives you eyes for that one that He's appointed to you. He gives you that flesh to be one flesh, the Word says. So that is your one and only. And so when you and I think about the perversity of the unfaithful, the perversity of the unfaithful means the sexual sin. It means the immoral lifestyle of living this sexual life that is just, you know, man, I know people that just bounce from one to another. I'm not joking. I was sitting at a basketball game this year, and I looked, and I seen this girl that I went to school with, and I'm like, my goodness, you've been married 7 times. And she's in there introducing me to her new husband, and I'm just in awe of this. And I mean, it's from bounce to bounce to bounce to bounce. And in this sexual perversity, here's what happens. Solomon's very true on this in the Word of God. He says that the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy you. Destroy you. Wreck families. Think about the damage it does to kids. Think about that. Think about the damage that it does to the person, the wife, the husband. It's something we really need to think about. Verse 4. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath. They said that Michael Jordan was worth $2 billion. Michael Jordan needs the Lord Jesus Christ. When the day of wrath comes, I don't care what Michael Jordan has done on this planet, he has no standard when it comes to Almighty God. No standard when it comes to Almighty God. He will be cast into an eternal lake of fire if he doesn't get his life right with the Lord. The Lord, as Brother Curry said, calls him to himself. Bill Gates has got more money than he shakes his head. He thinks that he's going to be able to preserve himself in a, I don't remember what kind of chamber you call it, but a chamber where when he dies, he will preserve his body, and then 200 years from now, they'll be able to bring him back to life. Don't you fall for the trap of the devil. It's amazing to me that people believe him. I don't know how people believe him when he gets on TV and talks about this. The words that come out of his mouth, I change the channel. He's a liar, okay? And as a well-known billionaire, he is an atheist that has no belief whatsoever in Almighty God. I don't care how much money he has, his day of wrath is coming. Ted Turner, the owner of CNN, the owner of TNT, the owner of TBS, well-renowned atheist, has denounced God. There is no such thing as God. Ted Turner goes around saying there's no such thing as God. Owns half of Montana, half of Wyoming, half of Idaho, has all this land, has all this money, just can bask in it, can take a $100 bill and tear it in our face. Can you imagine that? But this guy right here, I tell you what, I don't care how much money he's got tonight, there's a day of wrath coming before the Lord. I don't care how much money you have, it will not buy your way into eternal glory. The price has already been paid. There's a day of wrath coming. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness, praise God. Righteousness delivers from death. Righteousness. The only way that you can be righteous is through Jesus Christ. Only way. So my prayer tonight is that you understand that. For righteousness delivers from death. Not that you're right, not that I'm right, none of us are right, but praise God, our Lord and Savior is. There is victory. Verse 5. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. That's it. Solomon would say that, the righteous of the blameless. Where do we see that at? The Greek means in 1 Timothy chapter 3, when he's talking about deacons, when he's talking about pastors, when he's talking about elders. The word blameless means without blemish. Without blemish. So, local New Testament church, tonight, you're called to hold pastors, deacons. You're in a church with elders. You're to hold them up to standard of blamelessness. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way where? Direct him aright. It is important that the local congregation hold accountable men of God who have been called by the standard of God to be called blameless. And as we have been called blameless, man, I fall every day. I praise God for his grace. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright. Not because of who we are again, but because of who Christ is. He brings our way aright. A righteous man's steps are what? Ordered by the Lord. That is total sovereignty of God. Not free will. So when you think about this, you've got to understand God is in control of the very aspects of the steps we take. Praise his name tonight. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way, right? Watch this. The wicked will fall by his own wickedness. Wicked in the Hebrew there means criminal. The criminal will fall by his own criminal act. Isn't that the truth? Right? I don't know many criminals that have gotten away with things. Do you? Sooner or later, it washes out, don't it? Sooner or later, it washes out. So when you think about this, the wicked, the criminal in nature, will fall by its own wickedness, crime, so to speak. The one who murders will be caught. The one who steals will be caught. The one who burglarizes will be caught. The one who rapes will be caught. The one who performs criminal in nature sin will fall by his own wickedness. Haven't we seen this, maybe? Verse 6. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be caught up by their lust. Here we go. The righteousness of the upright. I hope I've driven this home tonight. You and I are not righteous. No, there's no one not righteous. No, not one. Okay? The only way that you and I are considered righteous tonight is because of our Savior Jesus Christ. The only way. Okay? So, the righteousness through Christ of the upright, you and I who are saved, born again believers, will deliver them. That's a neat word. We're going to talk about it because it goes with this next part of the proverb. But the unfaithful will be caught by their lusts. Remember, we go back to 1 John 2. What are the lusts? The lusts of the eyes, the lusts of the flesh, and the pride of life. Okay? So, let's talk about that for a second. We're going to go first to the lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes. People see and they want. They see and they want. Okay? It can come from food. It can come from a new vehicle. It can come from new houses. A man or a woman, when they lust with their eyes, they have this desire inside of them to go and get what they see. David had that problem. The unfaithful will be caught by their lust. You cannot get away from it. That's why we have to depend on Christ. That's why the demon-possessed man this morning, he was running around naked in lust. He was running around cutting himself with stones. He was screaming at the top of his lungs. But when Jesus got a hold of him, he was sitting down with a robe on. He was sitting there being quiet. Can you imagine that? That's amazing to me. The power of Jesus Christ that saved. So the righteousness of the upright will deliver them. So tonight, if you are caught in the lust of the eyes, the Lord can guard your eyes. Job asked that his eyes be guarded. I pray tonight that our eyes be guarded. There are so many things out there that we see that tempt us. Amen. We go into the grocery store, and Jacqueline says, "You got this much to spend." And I come home the other day and said, "Honey, I've sinned." Right? Because we go to the grocery store, what do our eyes do? They're great at marketing this. They get everything, but we just start grabbing, right? "Oh, man, I got to try this out. This looks great." And I get home and cook it and make myself sick. Right? So the lust of the eyes. We got a car that runs fine. We got a pickup that runs fine, but we drive by the Tolliver down there and we see something. "Oh, man, I got to have that." Lust of the eyes. We you know, if you're caught up in sexual sin, you go to the mall or you go out here in the summertime, these girls aren't wearing anything, you're like, "Oh, man." Brother Fred told me a funny story on our way to Miss Sparkman's graveside the other day. He said that there was a man that he knew, equipment, and I hope it's not kidding anybody, that he said they went up there to the farmer's market, that man was out there and he was watching the women come around, and he seen a woman come by to buy produce, and he's, "Woo-wee, you look at the legs on her." And he turned around, and his little son was standing there. And he looked at his son, and he said, "Just like your mama's." Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. How many of us overdo it, buddy? Amen. Lust of the flesh, we want to feel good, so therefore we do it. The pride of life. Well, the neighbors down the road have the new bass boat, so I need it. The neighbors down the road have the new four-wheeler, so I need the new four-wheeler. The neighbors have this and they have that. And so we get caught up in this lust, but I'm here to tell you tonight, if you are righteous in Christ and you are the upright in Christ, He will deliver you from those crazy lusts of the world. Where you say, "I don't need that. I don't need that. The unfaithful, they'll be caught in lust." Verse 7. "When a wicked man dies, his expectation will perish, and the hope of the unjust perishes." When a wicked man dies, his expectation will perish. Dr. Warren Risby said there will be no more riches. There will be no more conquests. There will be no more promotions. There will be no more pride of life. Because see, when the wicked man dies, his expectation perishes. Listen to this. The hope of the unjust perishes into what? Into pure hell. Pure hell. The unjust will spend an eternity in pure hell. Man, I think about that and I shudder. Because I think about friends of mine. I think about co-workers of mine. If their expectation is in a job, that's who defines them. A job's never defined Michael Myers. I'm a child of a team. That's my definition. That's never defined me, a job. That's never defined me. But the wicked man, their expectations are all in worldly things. What next promotion can I get? What next raise can I get? What next, I've got a three-bedroom house, let me get a four-bedroom house. Those are the expectations of the wicked. And the hope of the unjust is perishing. Go straight to the bottomless pit of hell. Verse 8. The righteous is delivered from trouble. And all of God's people said amen. But look at this. It comes to the wicked and sin. The righteous are delivered from trouble, but it comes to the wicked instead. A moral life with godly values generally leads to no trouble. And when I talk about no trouble, I'm talking about trouble from outside influences. We're all going to have trouble.
We're all going to have health problems. I was visiting with my great aunt the other day. Y'all been praying for her. She was sitting in that chair and she was telling me, the last 10 years, I have never seen, she's been around a long time, in the last 10 years, I have never seen anything like what's happened to our country. But she told me, she said, Michael, there's one thing for sure. Everybody's going to die, but they better make sure they got it right with Jesus Christ. I'm so proud of her for saying that. And if she said that, that was so true. That was so true. A moral life, if you live a moral life with God, with godly values, with the principles of the Word of God, you're still going to have trouble. But when you are wicked in your trouble, it is going to pour on you like a flood. It's going to pour on you like a flood. I've said this time and time again, a sinful life always has consequences. Always has consequences. If you choose to go out and sin willfully against God, I promise you, He will bring you to He doesn't allow His kids to blaspheme His holy name. He doesn't allow it. So when we have secret sin in our life, when we have open sin in our life, when we have sin of commission and we have sin of omission, when we have these sins in our life, I can assure you one thing from this pulpit tonight. He will punish those who are His by the rebuke and chastening of His mighty rod. He's a loving father. And a loving father will discipline his children. Discipline his children. See, when the righteous is delivered from trouble, it comes to the wicked instead. Verse 9. Verse 9 says this. It says, the hypocrite. I didn't look that word up in the Hebrew, but I'm sure it means the same thing in the Greek. In the Greek, it means to wear a mask. It goes back to the drama day, the one that's got the smile on the many of us are hypocrites when we come to church, right? I fall into this trap. I'm smiling, oh, everything's okay. But I feel like junk. That's the name of the thing. When you come to the Lord's house and everything is on the outside, it's just wrecking. But on the inside, you're just in turmoil. And you come to the Lord's house and put on the smile. This would be the hypocrite. He says, the hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. This is interesting. And I think this is key for a Baptist church like ours. Gossip and slander can tear a church apart more than any other thing. And we have to guard ourselves by what we say, what we do, and the hypocrite with his mouth. And again, ladies, this does not say that you're innocent. The hypocrite with his mouth, it also means her mouth, destroys his neighbor. Who is our neighbor? Our neighbor is anybody. Anybody that God has created. The neighbor that we may have that lives next to us. The neighbor that we see in the grocery store. The neighbors within our church. The neighbors, whoever. This is who talking about. And he says, the hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. What does the hypocrite do? Well, a lot of times I see in gossip, there's a lot of propaganda. You ever seen that? Man, the other day, the kids like me to tell them scary stories. And I'm big on propaganda. I can make it bigger than anything. And they were talking about, we got to get inside because it's full moon tonight. I said, yeah, sure is. You know when that full moon comes up, old Pumpkinhead comes out down there from the bottom of the earth. Boy, they're looking at me. Chad was like, don't tell them. We got Steve and Gail's little granddaughter spending the night. But then they say, Daddy, tell us a scary story. You know what I told them? I told them Mark 5 this morning. And I preached it from Quitman, Texas to our house. And this morning I couldn't do it that quick. But anyway, the hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. What do? They propagandize everything and they make it bigger than it is. And I was telling them that story. And man, they were just impressed at this demon-possessed man. And then they were just in awe of how Jesus saved his soul. So that was better than scary stories. No, it was a good story, it was a good evening. But the hypocrite propagandizes everything. What does that mean? It means that they blow things out of proportion. Have you ever talked to people like that? They blow everything out of proportion because they are what? They're hypocrites. The second thing that a hypocrite does with their mouth is they just tell flat-out lies. Flat-out lies. Lies are a dangerous thing. Lies are things that tear people's lives apart. Lies are things that ruin people for the rest of their lives. And the hypocrite, the one that is fake, the one that wears a mask, with his mouth or her mouth destroys his neighbor. And one thing I've learned about gossip, I've learned two things. Number one about a gossip when they start talking to you is take it with a grain of salt. Number two, if you want anything to get around, just tell that gossip. And they'll tell the whole thing. And the hypocrite with his or her mouth destroys his neighbor, this and that. But through the knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. Praise God for that. The righteous will be delivered. And so I want to share this with you. Because I think in our society today, we have a lot of hypocrites that lie straight to our faces. And you know where they do it best at? On our news stations. And so, when the hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. Through knowledge. Knowledge in who? Knowledge in Jesus Christ. I want to share something with you, and I told you a little bit this morning. Many people was like, man, you quack. I can't believe you're saying this stuff about the UFOs. I can't believe you're saying this stuff about demonology. I can't believe you're saying this stuff in systematic theology about angelology, about the fallen angels. I can't believe you even believe this stuff. Well, folks, it's written in the Word of God. I believe it. I believe it. And so, John invited me to come to a eschatology conference. Eschatology simply means end times. End times conference in Green Acres Baptist Church. It was phenomenal. I loved it. It was a full day of speakers on Islam, on Jewish people, on things that are affecting the Jewish people. It's amazing. I heard from a man by the name of Nelson Waters. And I go to his YouTube channel quite a bit because Nelson Waters gives updates of things that are happening in the world right now that brings knowledge to Christian people so that they know what's happening out there. I think a lot of us have our heads buried in the sand. We don't know what's going on out there. And so since we don't know they're going to talk about the UFO before Tucker Carlson's out. Let's change the channel. I would listen to that. Well, they're going to talk about, Biden is really pushing this critical race theory into the schools and into the higher universities. I'm just going to flip the channel on it. I would listen to conservative viewpoints on what is happening in our world today because it's so, so important. If you don't realize this, this world is spiraling out of control. Spiraling out of control. And regardless of where you stand on eschatology of when Christ will return, know this, He is going to return. And so, I want to share this with you, because I didn't know this. Man, I researched a lot of things. I tried to stay up on what's happening in the world so that I can inform you guys. I want to inform others because I don't want people to be tricked. And I feel like as a pastor of a local New Testament church, the first thing I need to do is to protect this church. And I protect that church by telling me things like these. That's why I'm so passionate about some things, and a lot of people get mad at me. A lot of people don't agree with me, and I get it. That's fine. But I want to tell you this. Knowledge is important. Nelson Waters said there's a guy in Dublin, Ireland by the name of Paddy Dunning. I don't know if you've heard of him before. But he owns a billion-dollar organization that in the year 2021, which is this year, in 21 cities, he is creating a 10-story high LED pixel giant statue, and each of them costs 21 million euros. Double that to the dollar. Okay? So in 21 cities around the world, there is a 10-story giant that will be displayed in cities around the world. Now, when you go back to Genesis 6:4, and I know everybody's got their own opinion on Genesis 6:4, okay? I can tell you this, giants were well renowned in biblical times. And if Jesus told in the last days, before the Son of Man returns, what did he say? He says, just like in the days of Noah. What were walking on the earth during the days of Noah? Giants. In giants, Genesis 6:4 says, they were men of renown. This gentleman is pushing out 21 10-story high giants to 21 cities around the world. And just listen to this. Patty Dunning says the giant, he didn't refer to it as an inanimate object. He called it a giant. Go to Revelation 13. There's a statue that's going to be worshipped, right, Brother Pat? There's a statue that's going to be worshipped. He says the giant wants to participate in solving the planet's problems. The giant does. Now, I don't know about you, but this is simply the doctrine of demons. On the base of all the giants, there is an executioner of a cyclops. Y'all know what a cyclops is, a monster with one eye. It's an executioner of a cyclops that is having different people that he is behind his head on the base of this giant. Another thing that is on the giant is a white horse with a huge hand, and a person is on the white horse and it's being held by a string. We know who rides the white horse. But this is on the base of this giant, and this giant is being pushed out to 21 cities all around the world, and here we have this at the base of this giant. And here's another thing about the giant. You can pay to put yourself up on the giant. And they're creating what's called the world's largest selfie. This bothers me. Selfies bother me. Because we're such a selfish society. It's all about us. So let's get up there and let's program in the computer. You're 10 stories high. They're going to have cartoon characters like Spider-Man. It's going to be so cool, according to Patty Dunning. But listen to what else they're going to do as well. This is already in the works. This is what's trouble. Remember, Patty Dunning said what? The giant wants us to solve the problems in this planet. They are going to make a giant LED statue of these pigs. And the giant is going to be looking like JFK. John F. Kennedy. I got tickled at Miss Louetta when I went to visit her. She had some half dollars sitting around her table. She said, who's this on this half dollar? She said, it looks like one of the Kennedy boys. I said, yes, ma'am, that's John. That's John F. Kennedy. We've got to talk to him. John F. Kennedy's going to be at one of the giant pixels. And he is going to say what? Okay? He's going to say this. It is your patriotic duty to get the COVID-19 vaccine. I've preached on this before. And listen, I know many of you in here are taking the vaccine. That's between you and the Lord. Okay? I got chastised by somebody for not taking the vaccine. I said, why would I take the vaccine? I've got antibodies. And my blood work has shown me. Why? And so now I'm looked at as a, I don't know. But JFK, here's JFK going to get up there and he's going to tell the world, take the vaccine. Abraham Lincoln, famous for ending slavery, is going to get up in one of these giants and proclaim to the world in these cities that what? We need to defund the police. This is already being written, folks. This is being written. Abraham Lincoln is going to get up there on this giant pixel and he's going to tell the whole world, black lives matter. And when you hear that, the first thing you say, yeah, you're right. But then you go read the social platform of Black Lives Matter, and they are nothing but Marxists. That's all they are. Here's what I'm afraid of. Here's what scares me. And I saw somebody in the comment section right there. I could see them using this giant to display Jesus Christ. And him being programmed to tell the world, I am a good teacher. I am not the Son of God. And because of our ignorance, because of our stupidity, because we watch so much news and we think that it's the gospel, let me tell you something today. Even that demon-possessed man in Gadarenes, he looked and he said, you're Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High God. You and I tonight do not need to fall for the deception of the devil. We need to stand for the truth of Jesus Christ. That's why I tell you this. Through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. Do not be an ostrich. Do not put your head in the sand and say, oh, yeah. No, you be on alert. The Bible tells us over and over again, be alert, be self-controlled, be watchful in all things. That's what you and I are to do. Verse 10. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. Isn't that the truth? When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. When good things happen to good people, people get excited about that. I'm not trying to brag. When my brother became superintendent here, everybody I talked to, the city kind of rejoices. Hey, we've been through this, but now we're through this. And the city rejoices. Kind of makes me a little prideful in a way. Maybe I need to knock down back to the right? When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. I hear people all the time. God, we're so blessed at New Hope Baptist Church. Amen. Man, things are at Brother Martin Daly was talking about praying, talking about this Jean the other day at Brother Doug's mom's funeral. And as we were talking about that, he was like, man, God has been really blessed at New Hope Baptist Church. And all I can tell Brother Martin Daly was this, praise God. Praise God. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. Amen. When good things happen to good people, man, we're excited about it. Excited about it. Solomon uses this contrast proverb here in verse 10. He says, when the wicked perish, there's jubilation. There's marching in the streets. There's parties going on in the streets. I'll never forget when they interrupted a baseball game and said that Osama bin Laden had been killed. And they flashed to New York City, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Boston, Massachusetts. And people were in the streets. Liberals, conservatives, Democrats, Republicans, independents, libertarians, carrying the American flag and chanting USA. When the wicked perish, there's jubilation. Jubilation. When Saddam Hussein hung, there is jubilation. When people that are evil die and perish and go to hell, there is jubilation among the righteous. Why? Because you see God's justice. Think so. Our God is righteous. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for enlightening our hearts tonight through your word. Lord, thank you for blessing Solomon with wisdom from you. And Lord, under your Holy Spirit, you pen these Proverbs down. So many thousands of years ago that we have them here today, and they are so applicable to us right here in our own personal lives. Thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters tonight that may be struggling with some of these issues. Lord, I pray that your Holy Word convicts their heart. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit comforts their heart. Lord, if they need prayer, if they need somebody to talk to, Lord, let me be a friend. Lord, just let me be an open ear. Not a judge, just an open ear. Lord, I'm so thankful that we can come to you anytime in prayer. And we can just share our heart for you, with you, for you. Lord, we're thankful that you know all things. Lord, tonight, thank you for this time of worship. Lord, I ask you to bless this time that we're about to have in business for you. Lord, I pray that in this business meeting, it is not about self. But Lord, it is all about you. Lord, everything that we do here at New Hope Baptist Church needs to glorify and honor you. And Lord, I pray that you keep us on track to do just that. Lord, thank you tonight for how good you are. Give us a great week. Heal broken hearts. Lord, touch souls that need touching. Lord, thank you for always being there for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.